Hello, and welcome to episode 84 of Design Curious Podcast. I'm your host and mentor, Rebecca Ward. Today on the podcast, I'm interviewing Debbie Daly and getting from her all the great information about how she mentors other people into interior design and shares her knowledge. And she talks about her path into interior design, which was really interesting. She also has a book and everything. So let me tell you a little bit more about her. Debbie Daly is an award-winning published interior designer with 30-plus years of experience in the design industry. She is CEO and owner of Debbie Daly Designs, serving Boston, Lowell, Massachusetts, and Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and New England Seacoast area. Debbie has practiced in the furniture, flooring, and wallpaper industries, space planning, and home renovations, all while owning her own custom drapery workroom. She is also an educator of interior design, providing new students and change of career-minded individuals with education to begin their career in interior design. Debbie is also the published author of her first book, Interior Motives, Designing a Career with Passion. Debbie is a member of IDS, the Interior Design Society, and holds a seat on the IDS National Board of Directors and president of the Interior Design Society New England Boston chapter. She is also a member of ASID, which is American Society of Interior Designers, and an educator of interior design at Middlesex Community College. So we have a great conversation. I think you'll enjoy it. And before we get into that, I want to remind you there are lots of downloads and lots of links for you in the show notes. And you can find out more information about my design mentor if you're looking to work with me more one-on-one. All right, let's get into our conversation with Debbie. You're now listening to Design Curious, a place where you, creative one, are here to learn about what it really is like to be an interior designer. And I'm your host and mentor, Rebecca Ward. If you're worried about how to succeed in a creative career, if you're ready to learn your next steps to become an interior designer, and if you want the satisfaction of doing something you love every day, you are in the right place. Grab a coffee, a notebook, and let's dig into today's episode. Hi, Debbie. Welcome to Design Curious Podcast. It's great to have you here today.
Hi, Rebecca. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. And I'm so excited to talk with you about several things, but I feel like we have very much an alignment with our message to people who are looking to get into the career of interior design. So first of all, let's talk about how you got into interior design and what path you took to get to be a designer.
Sure. Well, I started, of course, like everyone else at a very young age. I was actually very much into sewing at a very young age with my grandmother and my mother teaching me how to sew. And I was just always into DIY. You know, I've always been playing house, like moving furniture around, like everyone says they're moving furniture around, but I was really kind of hands-on, playing with my mother's sewing machine, making quilts with my grandmother, and loving the fact that I could create something. And also my grandfather being in antiques, and I would say a Fred Sanford picker, because that's really what he was. You know, he had gifted me my first table to refinish. Again, I think I was 10, 12, maybe somewhere in that range. Oh. And I loved it. Ever since then, and not only that, I am a first generation from Greek immigrants. And so my grandfather, when he brought my father and his siblings over, they had an old farmhouse, which I remember every detail of that farmhouse. Mm. And my grandfather passed away when I was 16. So I remember everything about that farmhouse and everything I love. And I think a lot of, but from both sides, my mother's and father's side, is a lot of, you know, the sewing background from my grandmother's and my grandfather. A lot of creative juices going on there, if you will.
For sure. So, yeah. So then you had this great background and upbringing in just being exposed to all the different interior elements. So then what was your path as you approached your career choice?
So the career choice was a little difficult because at that time, you know, the movie 9 to 5 was out with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin and Dolly Parton. And it was all about women getting into the workforce. You know, I basically wanted to go to college in Boston because I am from New England. And my father said, no, 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 it's too far away. So I ended up going to a business college taught by nuns in Windham, New Hampshire, and got my degree in business. That was not my path. Interior design was not my path. It wasn't presented to me as a career that I could actually get into at that time.
Okay.
And, you know, you have your parents wanting you to get a job with, you know, all the benefits, right? All the health insurance, the dental insurance, and, you know, everything that comes along with it. So that wasn't an option for me. I think if it was presented to me at that time, I probably would have chose that route.
Mm.
So I went into business, and that's my first degree. And at that time, I worked in the corporate world, you know, for, I'd say 10 to 12 years, but I was still sewing on the side. So I was self-taught making window treatments.
Mm-hmm.
And I started making window treatments while I was working full time. And that led me to getting busier making window treatments out of my house. And I got so busy, I didn't know what to do with it. So I closed that up. I didn't know anything about the accounting part of it. I got scared. I didn't know what to do. And, you know, I went full force in the corporate world until, let's see, I still had a passion for the sewing and I was still doing it. So becoming a single mom through all this,
mm-hmm.
I was working multiple jobs and still sewing. And I think I went out, it was in the early 90s, I went and left my job and started a boutique little antique shop with a workroom. That's okay. Really how I got into it first.
Okay.
But I also wanted to learn more about everything else. So I needed another job. I worked part-time at night in a flooring store.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to meet clients that were building houses
mm-hmm.
that needed some help. So that's how I generally got into consultation while I still had my little boutique store.
Okay.
You know, working part-time there and trying to make it all work and trying to hold it all together, you know. So it was hard, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed learning. I don't think there's anything better than hands-on learning, especially if it's something that you have a passion for
mm-hmm.
and you want to get out there and, you know, people think they're going to come out of college and get that dream job and make mm-hmm. a ton of money. It doesn't work like that, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I got my feet wet in the interior design world.
Okay.
And through a lot of mistakes as well, you know.
School of hard knocks.
exactly, you know, thinking you can do it all and make the window treatments and install the window treatments when you have no idea how to install window treatments, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And putting a hole in your client's wall bigger than a half dollar when you just need a tiny little screw hole and things like that, you know,
right.
or measuring incorrectly. So it's a lot. It's, I could go on and on about that.
Yeah.
But,
well, window treatments are so particular. They need
a lot of
precision with that. Yeah.
Right. I also was taking classes at night with the New York School of Interior Design as well. And through that, in the beginning of trying to do three jobs and take the classes, I stopped that for a little bit. And then mm-hmm. I went to school at night to the community college for interior design.
Okay.
I got my certificate that way through working in the field
mm-hmm.
as well, you know, as having the business background.
Yeah.
But being, you know, being determined, especially when you have someone, a little person relying on you solely to, you know, make life the way it's supposed to be
mm-hmm.
right? and give
mm-hmm.
them all the opportunities and still care for them. So it was hard, but I look back and I was like, I don't know, would I do it any different? How would it be if I did go to four-year college? Because I did not go to four-year college for interior design.
Yeah.
And I think through those experiences of having to close the business as my daughter got older and I got more involved with her school and I figured I'd work out of my house, which worked out well, I had another design firm approach me and ask me to come and work for them.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, full time. And I was not doing that because that was the reason why I needed to be with my daughter too.
Yeah, right.
So they did call me back and say whatever hours I wanted to work,
oh,
they
nice.
Were willing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that worked out well. And I did that for 6 years until I didn't want to be damage control for someone else's company anymore. And then I went back out on my own solely and fully. And through all those trial and tribulations in 2003, I went back out on my own as Debbie Daily Designs.
Great. So, wow.
Yeah.
That's quite a path to get to where you are today. Do you feel like your business degree is helping you now with your own business, or was it like much more corporate focused and you just kind of haven't really taken those principles, or just
I think my business degree did help me be more structured and organized with the books in the beginning. Now I have someone else that does my books, although I have QuickBooks online, and then I just kind of, you know, send that stuff off because it's a lot, you know, as your business grows, it's a lot. I'm not a math person, you know, and that's what's
many of us aren't.
I'm that creative person. Yeah, I'm not a math person.
Yeah.
So I think it did help, especially my first job out of college. I worked for a stock brokerage firm, and that helped me a lot. And that really pushed me. I wanted to become a stockbroker after working there for 1 year. Wow. I was doing a lot of stuff. And it was still the time period where they did not want women in that profession. And, you know, our office would sponsor someone to go and become, through their company, to become a stockbroker. They would sponsor you. You needed a sponsor. So I asked the office manager, and he said, "Debbie, this is not a field for women." So I was like, okay, looking for another job. I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, but that job did help me to see what business was all about, the ups and downs, and, you know, how you had to be organized within a business. And there, I didn't have to ask people for money because people were just giving money to invest, you know, but when you have your own business, that's the hardest part, you know, is asking people for the money to pay you. It's not anymore for me, but I think that's one of the hardest things to learn. Even my students now, they're like, "Well, how do you get paid?" I'm like, "Okay." Or they'll email me and say, "Hey, I did my first consultation, but I didn't ask her for anything." I'm like, "What? Like, you just, what?" But I remember being intimidated too.
Yeah.
You know, it's very intimidating. There's a lot to know.
Yeah. That money mindset, money hurdles that you have to kind of get over. And it's just an exchange, you know, of your talent for something that they find valuable. So it's hard in the early days to get over that. Yeah. So you have a book called Interior Motives: Designing a Career with Passion. So tell me a little more about how you came about to write this book.
I now teach at a community college as just a side thing. And I also have private classes. So I have private certificate classes for people who want to take or learn interior design. So there's a few, you know, there's one to start your own business, how to start your own business and get started in interior design. And we go through. So I get to meet with a lot of different people. And what I do is I ask them, you know, when we first meet, I ask them, like, "Why do you want to become an interior designer?" And listen to their story. And a lot of them were women that have either their career changed. So they're midlife, changing careers. They've either been a single mom or divorce situation, or they never had the money to go to school for interior design. So I'm listening to all of them in their stories. I'm like, you know, and they ask, like, "Well, how did you do it? How did you get started? Why are you so successful?" For me, it's still a job. And I don't look at myself as being successful. For me, I had my daughter, which was my driving force. I had to support the two of us. So I just continued on. And looking back, you know, I guess that put me to where I am today. But I was listening to these stories and I said, you know what, I'm just going to write a book, because it wasn't just go to college. I got married 2 weeks short of 20 just to get out of my strict Greek family's household, my high school sweetheart. I had my daughter 4 years later. That was a failed marriage, you know, after 7 years, finding another love. After 7 years, that was 14 years. That was a failed, you know, that didn't go anywhere. So I'm listening to these women and I'm like, oh my gosh, like if they just knew, like, I think if you have a passion, and people will look at interior designers and say, "Oh, it's such a glamorous job." And it's not. It's not a glamorous job. You know, if you could see, you know, all the deliveries I get now at my home studio for a whole total renovation just so I can have control over checking things. But it's not a glamorous job. I think you really have to love it. And you have to, I think it's easier today for people to get into interior design than it was when I did it. No one wanted to help you. no one wanted to help you at the design center. You couldn't even go into the design center.
Right.
So this is why I wrote the book, is for the women who think, not just women, I do have some men that think people just keep pounding you down and say, no one's going to pay you to decorate their house.
Mm-hmm.
No one's, you know, have a husband tell you that. You know, I'm going back to school for redesign, which I also did. Well, no, why are you wasting money on that? No one's going to pay you to come into their house. You failed at it once. So it's like all the negative stuff that, you know in your heart, like you're good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you know you have a passion for it and you're good at something, whether it be interior design or not, something else creative, try to make it a job or enjoyable,
mm-hmm.
or work in that field to see if you really like it.
Mm-hmm.
So those are things that that's why I wrote the book. I wanted people to know that there is a way to do this, and you just really have to be dedicated and really love what you're going to do. Or maybe you'll find out you don't love doing that. I have students that say, oh, I like the photography piece of it. You know, I think I'm going to go into that. Or I love the painting part of it. You know, I'm just going to be a paint color consultant.
Mm-hmm.
And people are doing that. So
it's
trying to find and help them find their path. Mm-hmm. That's really what I wanted to do. And I'm all about women succeeding. So it's really why I wrote the book.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
That was kind of, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you are helping so many women to get to that point where interior design is one of those, or has been in the past, a category that falls into the starving artist, you know, because of the creative types, you know, so like you're never going to make money at it, or it's just like a hobby and you do it because, you know, but I totally agree with what you're saying, that if you have a passion for it, then make it your career, make it your job, and you'll have so much enjoyment from it. And it's not always glamorous, but because that you love it so much, you can overcome those challenging parts of it and just see it as an opportunity for growth or whatever, you know, solving a puzzle or a problem for your client. And it can be fun too.
Right. And if you have people skills and your clients, I don't want to say, because it's kind of cliche, they become your friends. You become very close with the clients, especially if you're in their home, and especially if you have done multiple projects with them. You get to know them and you get to know their personalities, and it's, some are great to work with and some aren't so great to work with either.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But those are things that you learn, and you learn how to deal with that as well. And there's always a light at the end of the tunnel, right? No matter how bad it is, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. And you might find a niche that you love by trying to get into interior design. You know, maybe I had another student, he was right out of high school, and he wanted to see if he liked interior design. We went to the Boston Design Center, and there was a maker's market there, and it was a woodworking. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I think I might like industrial design. See, that's something that he would never have known.
Yeah.
If you don't help to open their eyes to what other opportunities there might be under that umbrella, because there's a lot of different things that fall.
A lot of adjacent careers you can go into just coming out of a study of interior design. You know, there's graphic design and, like you said, color consultations, and there's so many things around us and so many industries that we use too as a part of our career that, you know, as you're exploring interior design, you might find that something else strikes your interest, or you might become more passionate about it than just interior design in general. So that's really good.
Yeah. And through all of that, I asked for a lot of the opportunities that came to me. I didn't just sit there and wait for them to come. So that's another thing that, you know, some people are afraid to ask, especially trying something new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I got to write a lifestyle column by asking. On design tips, and that went on for, I don't know, 7 years with our city newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that I blogged for the Huffington Post by asking Arianna Huffington, you know, just asked. She was at the Conference for Women in Boston, and she gave everyone their email and says, if you write, you know, send me an email. And I did, and I was going to go skiing on a Sunday. I sent her off this email. I went off for the day. By the time I came back, I had an email in my inbox from her saying she loved my story and she would love to hear my voice on the Huff Post. And she copied, you know, one of her editors. And so I did that for a little bit too. But those are opportunities that come. You can't sit there and wait for them to fall on your lap because they're just going to pass you by and someone else is going to jump at it. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's really good advice. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So you have to kind of seek out options for yourself. Like you do, you're very creative. I think thinking about the different places that you could not just do the one-on-one interior design, but like show yourself as an expert to the public through writing articles and things like that. Mm. Yeah, really good.
Thank you.
Yeah. So any other advice you have? You have, I'm sure, so much in your book. So we'll definitely take a look at that. But just for today, anyone who's thinking about getting into the industry that maybe you haven't mentioned yet, or just some wisdom from your own path.
I would say if you're thinking of getting into the industry, try to take a class at your community college. If you have a community college that has interior design, I teach one at Middlesex Community College every semester, and it's at night and it's online. And it's Interior Design 101. And that is a way for people to see, you know, we touch upon 5 topics and it's through Zoom, and it's, you know, take a class and see if you enjoy it. See if you like it. See what the design theory is. It's in the end, it is all about the pretty when you have your professional photographs, right? But it's getting there. And so we talk about different design topics and different aspects that you can use in your own home. So it is for anyone. But I would say if you can do that, if you think you're interested in some kind of or niching, some kind of career, find a job and go work in the industry. If you think you like sewing, find a workroom that would hire you. Or if you have a design center next to you, see if you can go and work there part-time in the sample room in one of the showrooms, because they're always looking for help. Mm-hmm. Just so you get to learn and know, you know, whether it be fabrics or even your paint store. My Sherwin-Williams rep started out in a paint store, and now she's like VP of architectural and design for designers or something like that. So, I mean, you can start somewhere. Mm-hmm. You never know where it's going to go. Mm-hmm. But I would say try to find a job in some kind of field that you might have interest in, whether it be pictures, whether it be framing, whether it be an art gallery, you know, something, because there are designers and there are people going in the industry and working with these shops or showrooms or vendors that you never know who you're going to meet. I met some of my clients working part-time in that flooring store that became my clients for life when I first started out. Mm-hmm. So you never know what's going to happen. It all depends on where you put yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good advice. Yeah. And especially I do think that the flooring store, like you were saying, because people come in there, they're not usually working with a designer, and they're asking the consultant on the floor, what is your opinion? Like, help me with this design, really.
Right.
So it's a great opportunity to practice a little, or even learn how to ask the right questions of those people coming in to get to a solution that would work for their house. So, yeah.
Right. And the other thing is, you know, the store owner or store manager of the flooring store, I mean, they have contracts with the builders. So they're building developments and they're offering them builders grade product, right?
Yeah.
So there's always an upgrade option. So that's actually how I got to learn my products in flooring. That's how I learned every aspect of flooring. And you can help these people because, you know, the shop owner doesn't want to really deal with it. They just want them to, you know, place the order, he measures and that. But people who are building a home want a little bit more than that sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's nice to try and just broaden your horizons that way. But I agree with you 100%.
So where can people come and find you? You said you do private classes as well. So if someone were interested in working with you to learn a little more, or maybe a certificate, how can they find you?
Yeah. So my website, Debbie, no I, it's Debbie. Daily, Daley, designs with an S.com. So it's Debbie Daley Designs. You can go to my website. If you go to the contact page, I mean, there's more information on there about education and classes. If you go to my contact page, you can send me an email from there as well. Middlesex Community College, Interior Design 101. If you Google that, that will come up. And then if you're interested in the private certificate class, you can also email me as well through my website. Yeah.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Great. We'll mm-hmm. include all of that in the show notes so people can go and find you and check you out and find your book and read it and get all the great advice and information that you have. So thank you so much, Debbie, for coming on today.
Thank you, Rebecca, for having me. It's been fun.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon. As you can see, Debbie has a lot to offer. So go and check out her links. We have everything in the show notes. I did go and check the courses that she has because I think that could also be supplemental to people who are actually in My Design Mentor. So I'm including her in a list of resources as well. And it was very fun recently at KBIS. I ran into her in person. So I got to meet her in person, her and another person that I've interviewed for the podcast coming up. So it was fun because I just saw her off to the side and I'm like, oh, I know that person, but I don't actually know her. We've only met on Zoom. So I said hi to Debbie and we caught up a little bit. It's always fun to see how my personal network grows just by doing this podcast and interviewing different people. And I love to make those connections. That's all I have for this week. And next week, I'll have another great episode. And until then, stay creative. Thanks for listening. If you love this episode, please leave a rating and a review. This helps me reach other curious creatives like you. If you have a topic request or would like to contact me, simply head over to my website, rwarddesign.com, or email me at podcast@rwarddesign.com.